Buckle up, hotties. It's time to talk some hoops. Welcome to Crunch Wears No Pants with Brandon, Nate, and Jordan.
What's poppin', Manny people? Welcome to a very special bonus episode of Crunch Wears No Pants. This special episode, the special bonus episode, is powered by, presented by, the presenting sponsor, Lamb Chops at SG Lamb Chops on Instagram and SGLambChops.com. Make sure you cop a chain, cop some comfy hoodies, cop some mesh shorts, and pop a look at this guy. We have a special guest on the pod today. The one of two Suns fans in Panty Nation. Let's see here. This man was the voice of both the morning show and night show at Go 95.3, the modern hip-hop channel, a radio station so good that the Suits had to shut it down. This man has a kind soul, a Minnesota transplant, and we are happy to claim him despite his aforementioned allegiances as a Phoenix Suns fan. Please welcome to the show, Augie 5000.
Yeah. I have to know, who is the other Suns fan that's part of Panty Nation?
Our friend Nate O'Connick. Before we get into the meat of our episode with you, I want to softball you some questions so Panty Nation can get to know you and like you again, despite the fact that you're rocking the orange and purple. Please regale us with a story from your Suns fandom. Maybe it's like a memory you have while watching a game with your family, or like your favorite game you ever attended, something like that, like your favorite Suns memory that describes your Suns fandom. What do you got for us?
So people that are my age generally became Suns fans in like 1992, when Charles Barkley came to town. That's most people, if you ask like people that are like between like age 36 to 45, they'll be like, yeah, that's when I became a fan. I did like them before that, but I was super gung-ho then. And the memory that I think about often is my very first time going to see the Suns. I went to game 7 of the Western Conference Finals, where Charles Barkley snagged like 20 rebounds against Sean Kemp. And he also shot like 40 free throws. Sonics fans will, they hate that game. Don't talk to Sonics fans about that game. I have an old good Sonics friend, and we can't talk about that game. It's sore spot.
What a first game.
Yeah, that's incredible, dude.
I was right against the back wall. I was like nosebleed back wall. My uncle got me and my mom the ticket because he knew how big of a Suns fan I was. So sent us. And yeah, it was an awesome game. And the end of the game was, I'll never forget the chance.
What happened at the end? I don't remember. I'm a Timberwolves fan.
Well, the Suns won.
They went on to play the Bulls, right?
Yeah, and the Bulls had just beat, like earlier in the day, had just beat the Knicks. And so everybody, there's confetti coming down, and you know, the 18-bit screen, you know, Super Nintendo days, showed like the western half. It was like flashing the western half of the United States, and people were chanting, beat the Bulls, and
we're like pumped.
It was inevitable at that point. We just didn't really know what the future held for us at that point in time.
What was it like? I imagine this is hard to describe because you were a kid, and also it's just like a euphoric thing. But like your team hitting the finals, we just don't know what that's like. What is that like? Can you do your best to describe the type of crack that is?
It's disappointing in my case because Suns had a home court advantage and they like shit away the first two games. And because like I think Charles Barkley was like a little scared of the moment, and so was Kevin Johnson, and yeah, but then like game 3 was euphoric, game 5 was euphoric. It's just a gut punch, bro. Like, you're literally the Timberwolves fans, like, as hard as it is, as tough of a bunch as Timberwolves fans are, in a weird way you have it good, because if you're never good enough to experience disappointment, you're never really good enough to know what a gut punch actually feels like.
It's really like that. It's not like it's
it hurts, bro.
Brandon Durf, do you guys like agree with that? Like, I don't know. I think about like 2009 Vikings, like the
How'd that
feel for you, Durf?
That's the comp. When we were talking about the last episode, we were talking about like fans that are like, it's gonna fall apart. You got like, you just wait. Like the defense mechanism that comes from like being up here and being so close so many times, and then having the rug pulled out from underneath you.
What? Okay, yeah. let's pivot to a Vikings spot real quick. What hurts more, 2009 or dropping the bag, fumbling the bag with the Minnesota Miracle and the Super Bowl being in Minneapolis?
It's still 2009 for me.
You think because we were a better team?
Because I didn't think we were gonna in 2009. I was like, if we make it, we're gonna win the Super Bowl because we're better than the Colts.
We would have. I was like being at the radio station, bro. Like we were amped about like the Super Bowl on the Vikings. So, like you're not a Vikings guy by any means, Augie, but like the energy in the city was insane.
I was pulling. I wanted the Vikings to win so bad, man. I was like, and then. I don't even know. Honestly, all I remember is the Minneapolis Miracle, and then everything else, like, my brain has pushed that away. I don't know what happened after that.
Yeah. That was the end of the season. The Minneapolis Miracle, and then it was over.
Yeah.
Oh, that shit was so great.
2009 was a gut punch because it was, like, right to the end of the game, and then they lost in OT. 2017 was, like, that Eagles game. You knew basically after they scored the first touchdown that the game was over. It's kind of like when we play the Suns and after the first quarter, you're just like, oh, okay, so the game's over. There's no point in playing the next three quarters.
Well done.
They got dark fast.
Yeah. Okay, nice segue there, Durf. So as a Phoenix Suns fan, Augie, before we get into the content you've so generously prepared, what has been like your historical view of the Minnesota Timberwolves? I think it's not good given what you were just saying, but like, how would you describe your relationship to our franchise? Is it antagonistic? Are we the little brothers? What's going through your mind as like you look at the team throughout history and also like how you approach this series?
Can I give it to you in phases? Can we talk about okay, so as a kid, that was a Suns fan back in the day, the Suns had come to like Minnesota and hadn't lost in Minnesota for like a million years. They were like on a Minnesota winning streak. And they're like, every time it was like, yeah, this is the 22nd win in a row or whatever for the Suns. And so I was just like, dang, like we just whooped there. Like I knew it was like a guaranteed dub back in the 90s. And then they get Kevin Garnett and they're good. I feel like you guys shit on Marbury way too much. That was a bad. I mean, there's really nothing you can do. He was kind of an ass about leaving, but
yeah,
he was great. Had it worked out, he's a franchise player. Let's just put it that way. That one should have worked. And I think in hindsight, I think he probably would go back and play with KG and win some chips. Yeah. Maybe potentially. And then like the KG Wolves, I was like super impressed. I was like, and this is me like becoming a young adult, and I'm like, these guys are awesome. I love KG, and so I liked watching the Wolves. And then fast forward to, you know, moving to Minnesota, I had like a positive outlook. I wasn't really like, I was pretty neutral on the Wolves, and so now I'm a Wolves fan. I would say a part time when I'm not rooting on my Suns, I'm rooting on the Wolves. So
this is why you're the perfect person to be.
We love that
with your expertise in both realms.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question. I have a question for Augie too. A Suns related question. I want to know, like, not Barkley, not Nash, not Booker, not Durant, not Stoudemire. Who is like the obscure Suns player that like has your heart from Suns history?
How obscure are you saying?
Go crazy, bro.
Like,
Cook.
Like
Horacio Llamas.
Who?
Horacio Llamas. He was like the first.
I've never heard of that Mexican player.
The first Mexican player to play in the NBA. He was a smallish big. He was like 6'9", thick, super thick boy. Couldn't shoot, but like he was Mexican and he was out there banging against Shaq and getting his ass beat. coming off the bench. And if we want to go really obscure, it's him. I love him.
Here we go. I got some stats for you, Brandon. Giannis played in 20 games during his debut season with the Suns, averaging a whopping 1.7 points per game, 0.9 rebounds, and 0.2 assists per game. Hell yeah, Augie.
But he was guarding Shaq, and he was averaging less than a rebound per game.
That's what happens when you guard Shaq. And I mean, he was coming off the bench. He wasn't, you know, starters really guard Shaq. He was... I just remember a specific game where he was getting just bullied. He had to guard Shaq for a game.
That's when the Suns decided to get Shaq. Like, we should go get that guy.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, when the Shaq deal happened, I was like, Sean Marion was one of my favorite players. And I was just like, I don't like getting off of him, but like, I guess this kind of has to happen. I'm glad we got Shaq. And then, so here's the thing. The majority of Suns fans blame the wrong person about the Shaq years, like the two Shaq years, because when they got Shaq, they fired the coach. They got rid of Mike, or he quit. Amicable split, whatever. Mike D'Antoni was gone. They hired Terry Porter. He changed the offense on the Suns. He was like, yeah, we're going to slow it down. We're going to play slow. We're going to play back to the basket. You know, like, put the ball into Shaq, and we're going to run the offense through Shaq. Meanwhile, you got Steve fucking Nash.
What a weird thing to do with Steve Nash on the team.
So people are like, Shaq slowed down our team. No, Terry Porter fucking slowed down the team. A hill that I will die on about the Suns is, had they had Shaq for one more season, we would have won the title in 2010. Because the Lakers were bigger than us. We were getting bullied by the Lakers. They had Lamar Odom, Pau Gasol. We were getting like at Bynum. They had Bynum. We were getting manhandled. Had we had Shaq, no manhandle. Shaq would have handled them. Amar Stoudemire was playing great at the four. Next to Shaq, he didn't have to worry about guarding fucking Tim Duncan and shit. And like, it was great.
That's a sick team. Nash, Stoudemire, and Shaq is crazy.
Yeah. It was crazy, bro. And to this day, Suns fans are like, fuck Shaq. He sucked. And it's like,
what? Probably. Really? That's the sentiment? It's like Jimmy Butler.
Dude, I was just pulling up his stats. His second year, 08-09, he had a great season. It looked like
he did.
He was an all-star, 17 points a game. That's a good bounce back year. So was his contract up then after that? Or did he get moved to Cleveland?
Dude, they fucking traded him for the bones of Ben Wallace.
And Sasha Pavlicek and $500,000. I got it pulled up right here. Not too shabby. Matt Ishbia.
Robert Sarver, like classic salary dump right there. It's just fuck Robert Sarver.
So Augie, you have so graciously offered to prepare some optimism for Timberwolves fans. This is very atypical. This is very strange. You have five things you hate about the Suns and things that we should be optimistic about. Am I understanding this bit correctly?
Yes. So I've watched. So this is the and Suns fans will agree. Any Sun, the one Suns fan that might be listening,
he won't be. He's not.
He turned it off after turf. Or into him.
He turned it off and he's probably violently texting me right now.
He's like, fucking Shaq. God, what? This fucking idiot. This is the least fun I've ever had watching a Suns team. And
what?
It makes me sad because like I've wanted Kevin Durant on the Suns since he was drafted. There's like tweets of me like in 2015, 2016, like, if only we could trade for Kevin Durant. Like,
all right, bro. No, you can't. Can someone look that up? Augie 5000, Kevin Durant. I'm looking at him right now.
Or KD. It's there.
All right, keep going.
I've had a bad time. Suns fans in general have had a bad time, and it's not because of Kevin Durant. He's been awesome. It's not because of Bradley Beal. He's been awesome the past month. He's been great.
Every time he plays the Wolves.
We should talk about that. And then it's inconsistency. These guys don't know how to play together, which is one of my things, or part of one of my things. So should I dive right in?
Yeah, let's go right ahead. Number five. Yep. Get into it.
Oh, okay. So Kevin Durant, as much as I love him, as awesome as he's been, if you see his shot chart, the whole fucking floor is green. He's amazing. But here's the thing that he shouldn't do. But he does, and it's built into their offense, is handling the ball above the break. He brings the ball up like a point guard. He's like the point guard on a third of the possessions. This guy gets pressured, and he cuffs the ball up. Like, he just shouldn't be handling the rock on the perimeter. They need to like put him on the post and just feed him and then make him make decisions. He can draw two, pass out. or cook somebody and face up, but he should not be handling the ball there. So they haven't gotten away from this. This is something to exploit. If you see Kevin Durant dribbling the ball, send Anthony Edwards at him with a full head of steam. Like Nikhil Alexander Walker, send him. Kevin Durant's going to cough up the ball, and it pisses me off.
Damn.
So is that like a is that like a result of the fact that the Suns just don't have point guards on their roster, and it's just like they're like, we've got these three amazing scoring wings, and they're just kind of taking turns playing point guard? The hard part about the pressuring the ball with Kevin Durant thing is they're probably going to have to guard him with Karl Anthony Towns, which I don't think he's going to be like pressing up 40 feet from the hoop.
It's true. Maybe that's the wrong, maybe that's the wrong deal there, is like maybe Towns should be guarding Grayson Allen or something. Like,
I think Grayson,
well, that's what we did the first three games and it did not work.
So I am pro Cat on KD. I want both Wolves fans and Suns fans in this chat to weigh in on this, but I think KD's old, so he's lost a couple steps. Yeah, Augie. It seems like he's slower. He's always kind of been a, he doesn't have that like that
yeah, he's
need
not
for speed Nas to go, you know, like catch the speed. So that bodes well for Cat. And also KD, as you mentioned, like, he lives in the mid range, right? Isn't he like the second best mid range shooter in the league this year besides Joel?
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah,
I would argue he's better than Joel in the mid range, but
I would. I would agree that he's better than Joel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So given Cat's size and the lack of KD speed, I think you can get away with like Cat using his size and his arms, his big gangly arms, at least get a hand in his face and impact that. And if he gets by Cat somehow, you will have Rudy on Jokic there to provide some support. And if he does get to the rim, you just kind of live and die by Jokic. Did I say Jokic? Nurkic. Sorry,
Jokic, Nusuf Jokic.
Yeah.
I think the hard part, about that though is like to Augie's point that there's really no like great answer for Kevin Durant. He's one of the 15 best basketball players to ever live.
Also, one of the 15 best leaders as well.
Oh, even higher,
allegedly.
Top 10,
allegedly.
Allegedly,
we don't know.
But the way to like what Augie said, the way to bother him is with like ball pressure and to make him uncomfortable when he's handling the ball like
pressure
out above the break.
Squeeze him.
But that's not the way that Cat is going to effectively guard him. Like Cat has been effective at what he's done, but he's going to need to give him a lot of space to be able to stay in front of him, and giving Kevin Durant space is like an absolute nightmare scenario. So like we talked about on the last show though, then the problem becomes the only other option for him to guard is Grayson Allen. And now you're forcing him to run off a lot of screens. And that's also something he's not good at.
Yeah, great.
The answer is throwing a trap at him.
What's it like
before he gets the 3-point line? You got like send another body at him. Like he's either going to fumble the ball.
Your roster's too good. Your roster, there's not really a weak link. Grayson's an amazing shooter. Jokic is a playmaker. It's only Drew Eubanks, and even Eubanks yammed on us.
Stop
once,
calling him Jokic.
Did I say Jokic again?
Yes.
Oh shit! I think it's Jokic and Eubanks. That's what it is. It's Jokic and Eubanks, and they're both white guys with beards.
No, Nurkic and Eubanks.
Yeah, it's Newbanks.
You know what? Call him Newbanks because fuck him. He's one of these. He's one of these here. So.
Every Suns fan I've talked to, all two of them, you and Nate hate Drew Nurbanks. What's it, Augie?
Drew Banks,
tell us what it's like cheering for Grayson Allen. I imagine there's like a bit of a Pat Bev syndrome there, where if he's on your team, you love him, especially if he's the best shooter in the league.
Dude, he's an all-American boy. He is a shining king, a prince among men.
He's going to Cancun when a hurricane hits Phoenix. He's on his way. It's crazy how Ted Cruz he's getting. Like, it's nuts.
I'll say this. When they traded for him, my immediate response was like, dude, fuck, I got to root for this guy. Like, this sucks. And then he plays for you and he doesn't do any weird, dirty shit. And he just hits threes and he goes to work. And then you're like, I want this guy to meet my mom. He's great. You know, that's
he's
just
a good
all
American white boy.
He is, man.
Okay, is this? I haven't paid enough attention to Grayson Allen over the years since he's been in the NBA. Has he gotten rid of that stupid like tripping syndrome that he likes to do? He did it, Duke. Like, is that out of him, or do you still have that in him?
I think I'm probably blind to it, but I haven't seen it this year. I haven't seen it at all, but also I might be a little biased. So
there haven't been any like real antics, like big ones that have come up, but it definitely didn't stop at Duke. Like, he definitely took it with him into the NBA.
When he was on the Bucks, he was dirty, bro.
I feel like I remember him doing stuff with the Bucks. He undercut Chris Dunn.
That's like saying, I haven't looked at Rudy Gobert's like tweets or Insta stories. I don't know what you're talking about.
Dude, I'm just saying, if he pulls some shit in this series on Mike Conley, there's going to be war.
That'll be bad.
On wherever his home is in Phoenix.
Cancun.
Grayson Allen, though, has really... Grayson Allen has really entered into the tier of like NBA player where no matter what's happening when I watch him... that if he catches the ball and he's open, I just think it's going in before I see anything else happen.
Yeah.
He just feels so automatic. It's a lot like Cam Johnson actually was with the Suns for those couple of years before the KD trade.
And now he's
kind of cooked. It looks like
he's kind of like if like Grayson Allen's kind of like if Jordan McLaughlin had more volume, you know what I'm saying? Like if Jordan McLaughlin took 800 threes,
it got better at shooting threes.
Hey, man,
Jordan McLaughlin shot over 50% this year
on half an attempt a game, but 50% is 50%.
He Jordan McLaughlin had like a 2-month stretch where he shot 65% from three, and that's not even an exaggeration.
For real, it was wild. Like, we were all kind of like, what happened to J-Mac? Like, we got Mike Conley, and then like his shooting rubbed off on J-Mac or something.
Yeah,
dude, you guys hated him last
Jordan.
Playoffs.
No, Jordan
hates him.
Look, I did not hate him. I just thought that if he was probably the odd man out because he was an undersized guard that couldn't shoot, but he's fixed his shooting, and he's the plus minus king. Something's going on. I've admitted that I'm wrong 6 billion times. I'm not afraid to change my opinion in the wake of new information. Goddamn. All right, Augie, number four. Are we counting down? Are these in order? Is this number four or number two?
Descending.
It's up to you because I have them listed 1 to 5, but okay. I also have them written down in order of like we're building here. We're building.
Okay. So number four. We're descending down. Number four thing to be optimistic about.
So I alluded to this earlier when talking about giving Kevin Durant ball pressure.
Ball pressure.
He will turn the ball over. No, the Suns are yeah. No diddly. But because the Suns are they're a new team with a new coach.
Number four, you have to edge Kevin Durant. You
gotta edge him.
Stop interrupting the guests.
No, it's cool. I was waiting for it. That's why I paused. I'm waiting. Right. I'm waiting for that. Right. We gotta get it out of our scrotum system.
We're doing retention.
So the Suns are a new team. Everybody on the team is new except for Booker and Josh Okogie, who fell out of the rotation, and Damian Lee, who unfortunately suffered a terrible injury, hasn't played the whole season. So everybody's new. Coach is new. Everybody's learning a new system. Everybody's learning how to play together. Guys were injured the whole season and barely got back. We're barely whole. Like, it's been 2 months or whatever it's been. So this team just doesn't communicate well. They throw risky passes. Kevin Durant is not the only culprit of the risky passes. This team's going to turn the ball over because they're going to do something stupid. And a lot of times it's Nurkic. Nurkic is a good passer, but he's an ambitious passer. He's overly ambitious. He thinks he's Jokic. He wants to be Jokic so bad. He wants to be so Jokic so bad that he plays well against Jokic.
So he's Karl Anthony Towns, but white. This is exactly what Kat does.
Yeah.
He does stupid
Kat
passes.
Is also...
He's foul prone.
Yeah.
and he gets up for exactly. the Jokic matchup.
That's they're the same guy. Like we're Spider-Man meme. It's Cat and it's Nurk. and they also probably both hate Draymond a little bit too.
Yes.
I
think they hate. They all hate Draymond a lot of bit.
Well, risky passing. As long as you put pressure on the team and you're actually like watching the ball a little bit, you are going to pick off passes. If they have a game with like 19 turnovers in the playoffs, it's not going to surprise me at all. They like to turn the ball
in the first half. 19 turnovers in the first half, that would never happen.
No. Oh yeah. Well, I guess we're worried about the first half, aren't we?
Yeah.
Well, that's number. That's
I'm just
number
talking
four,
about the 19 turnovers for the first half the Wolves had last time. Yeah. They played the Suns.
We're gonna have CTE ball between these two teams. I'm here. We're gonna get some CTE ball. It's gonna be the antithesis of like smart Nuggets basketball of last year. It's gonna be just like these two teams do not know how to basketball. All right. Number three.
All right. So this is the fourth quarter thing. The fourth quarter thing is overblown though. The Suns, if you like look at like, you know, early season versus late season, the early season is where those numbers shoot up, and the late season they've been good in the fourth quarter of the past month. They've tightened that up. However, one thing that I've seen them do consistently throughout the year that pisses me off is they will matchup hunt way too hard in the fourth quarter. So what'll end up happening is like they'll run one action, they'll get burned on it, like they'll get iced, or somebody will top lock Bradley Beal or something, and they get out of it. So what ends up happening is Booker will set a screen for Kevin Durant, and then Kevin Durant will get somebody that like, hey, I want to cook this guy, and then everybody like just backs off, pure iso ball. And then Kevin Durant throws up a bad shot, and that happens multiple times. And it's not just Kevin Durant; it's Devin Booker that does this. Bradley Beal is not a culprit. Bradley Beal will try to get downhill, but like between Book and Kevin Durant, they both think that they're superheroes at this point. When the offense breaks down, and it breaks down too much in the fourth, some people blame that on the coach. I don't know if I blame it on the coach. I think I blame it on. You get denied that first action, and then you think, all right, let's get into it. Let's go ISO.
Is there such thing as a bad KD shot? I feel like there's not.
Are you sure you haven't just been watching the Wolves? Because it sounds like you just described Anthony Edwards in the fourth quarter and Wolves Twitter's reaction, blaming the coach for all the isolation offense after, initial actions breakdown. Sounds like we could be in for some interesting fourth quarter isolation.
This series is turning into the Spider-Man meme, like you said.
This is giving me hope. Thank you for coming on, Augie. Well, I always had hope. Wolves in three. Sorry, dude. But
speaking of that, this is not on my list, but we'll just add it. We'll make it six. One of the beat writers for the Suns, like Kellen Olson. He predicted that the Wolves are going to win in six. He's like fed up. He's like, dude, these guys can't put it together. Wolves in six.
That's great. So I guess, is that like, so the consensus pulse in like Suns beat right territory is Suns winning, but this guy is the.
That's the only prediction I've actually heard from anybody. I haven't listened to any of the podcasts that would throw predictions out. One of my favorite Suns podcasts, they have a strict no predictions policy, so they don't do that, which is cool. I don't know what the national media is saying. I'm sure everybody's like, yeah, Suns.
National
Suns
media loves the Suns. Around.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure. And what it makes sense.
I mean, they're a hot team right now. Are you worried about the hot streak ending? Because like they're catching their flow as you go into the playoffs. We saw the Wolves too, right? Like we had like the November, December. I guess it was December, January. That was like crazy hot, and then we like fell off. Are you worried that like you're kind of reaching like the critical? Like it's either like you either ascend and really lock in, or the hot basketball goes away because everything ebbs and flows. It's a game of runs. It's a season of runs. I guess this is an open the floor question. Do you guys subscribe to that?
To be quite honest and maybe a little depressing for people listening, no, I feel the opposite. I feel that the Suns are finding their groove. They found it at the right time. And the lack of focus that they've showed throughout the season, that goes away with the most important time in the game. So I'm hoping they lock in. Everything evidence has shown me that they have trouble locking in. So that's why Kellen Olsen says Wolves in six, but I'm pretty confident that at least we'll get hard fought basketball is really what I'm confident about.
There's no sample size to suggest that. Brandon, your thoughts?
Well, I agree that I think at the very least, I would be surprised if the games resemble what the regular season games looked like so far. I'm pretty convinced that this series is closer to a coin toss than either team being favored. I think it's an interesting contrast of styles, but I wouldn't really be surprised by any outcome other than one team winning the series in four or five, either team really.
Sure.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a tough series all around. I think it's going to be hard fought by both sides. And I think it's going to be close. It's hard to see either team really pulling away in games. As far as, a 20-point victory, I feel like it's going to be a big back and forth. But yeah, I could see it being a longer series too. I could see it being six or seven game series.
I agree with you. I think these teams are going to push each other to the edge. I think they'll put a lot of ball pressure. I think they'll be stroking it. Grayson Allen will be stroking it. I think we're in for some internal explosions in the paint with the white lines.
I just think the Wolves are going to do a lot of pounding inside,
All right. That was a stupid bit. Thanks for the
I like
pity
that bit.
Laugh
that
on
was
you.
Good.
Number five.
Hey, you edit. You can add the laughter. We talked about this.
No,
I did the perv laugh. That wasn't a fake laugh. That was a good perv laugh. I'm in it. I'm all the way in, bro. Respect. Dick jokes. Let's go
all the way in.
Wait till you see. This is a great plug, Augie. Wait till you see the Crunch Wears No Pants T-shirt. Plug. Ball pressure. there's proprietary tech in two instances on this shirt. From what I've told, if the shirt that I was shown gets made, there are two things happening on this shirt. One is tech adjacent, one is design adjacent, and I am shocked by shirt technology.
If you're telling us this is true, can we wash the shirt?
Yeah, I had questions about that too.
I don't want to say it before, but it's got to be. I think it's a QR code adjacent thing.
Okay. Do we have a release date on the shirts? Can you tell us more? Where can we buy them?
The design was approved today. So hopefully soon. Also, potential watch party coming soon. The Crunch Wears No Pants watch party. Pants required for you weirdos out there. Pants required.
Can we wear the mesh shorts from one of your sponsors?
From Lamb Chops? Absolutely, yes, because those are pants. You have to wear underwear beneath them, though. I don't want to be squinting.
That underwear has to be Chill Boys.
Yeah.
It has to be Chill Boys underwear.
We'll be handing them
you
out.
Have to smell like Duke Cannon. And if your car has any dents on it, dude, and you didn't go to Dent Heads,
I swear to God, if there are dents on your car.
The last straw, you're out of here.
Okay. Number five. What do we got?
I think number four. I think he's only done three so far.
No, we are on number five. We did give it a bonus.
We had a bonus.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
We're going to six now.
So I don't know if you guys saw the national game where the Suns got their asses handed to them by the Bucks without Giannis. And then right before that, they got their asses handed to them by the Celtics, which it's the Celtics, they're kicking everybody's ass. But here's how both of those teams beat the Suns.
Not the Wolves.
And this is something the Wolves are going to have to, I don't know where they're going to get this from, but they got to get to it. The Suns struggle with rotating to the ball after putting two on the ball. So essentially put two on the ball, you get the pass out, ball finds its way around 3-point line. Suns they just can't recover. And that's how the Celtics ran the score up on them. Just raining threes on the Suns. The Bucks without Giannis were raining threes on the Suns. You're going to have to kill the Suns with threes. And this is Cat. Like, Cat's got to be out there just catch and shoot.
So the Suns and the Wolves have so many parallels. That's the same way you break the Timberwolves defense, right? It's just like you catch them on the switches and you kind of attack Cat's luggishness. Brandon Durr from my out of this line here.
Well, this is so weird to me, like, to hear you say that as a person who's watched like every Suns game this year, because putting two on the ball and getting the ball out of Ant's hands has been like the key to how the Suns defense has been so effective against the Wolves this year. And they just haven't done a very good job kind of picking on that weakness that it sounds like they have. And I mean, that last game, it was a lot of like missed open threes from Nas and Jaden. But I agree with Augie when he says, like, and we talked about this on our last episode, it needs to be a Cat series. They need Cat to stand out on offense, and they need him. I know we harp on this all the time. They need him to be a quick decision maker, where if a big issue for the Suns is rotating out of double teams, Cat cannot be catching the ball and jabbing and sizing up and letting the defense recover and load up on him. And that has been, when things get tough for Cat, that's the thing he kind of falls back into. And maybe it's just a matter of him like catch and shoot a couple quick threes early in the first game and seeing those go in.
That's how the Charlotte game happened before we had lost it. But also, like, nothing's more beautiful than when just Cat.
We do not
the
want the Charlotte game.
Yeah, no, we do not want, but like,
maybe the performance, but not the game.
It's been noticeable the second half of the season pre injury. There were some catch and shoot Cat moments where you're like, oh my god, he's doing it. Even like in the Suns game, we were getting blown out. There was an Ant drive and then kicked a Cat in the corner. He hit a three. Boom.
I was kind of hoping there would be more of that when he came back. And it's only been two games, and so there's a lot of just like shaking off rust and stuff, but it's been a lot of classic old jab step sizing up Cat, which bogs down the offense for everyone and like really, really brings out the worst in him.
Yeah, it just shouldn't be that hard for a max player. I'm turning into it. Like, I know like that's a problematic line to say. And I love him. No. He's my favorite player. I'm on record saying Karl-Anthony Towns is my second favorite Timberwolf. Third, maybe Ruby. I don't know. Is it Michael Beasley? Is it Carl? Is it Kevin Garnett? Is it Ricky Rubio? I don't know. But he's in the conversation.
Yeah.
But it's like, man, come on, dude. Like, you're freaking good. Like, when I think we harp on it because, like, when he's so good, he is so good. And it's not debatable.
If the Wolves are going to win this series, the Cat has to average at least 30 a game because he is food on defense. The Suns have a thing where when they match up punt, they're looking for the pigeon, and that's what they call it. They call it, and Cat is the pigeon every time. And like a Suns meme that's running around is like a cat pigeon. Like somebody photoshopped a cat head to a pigeon.
Oh, that's unfortunate because he's been solid this year. That's a good bit, unfortunately.
But yeah, so he's like you guys talked about it before. He's getting ate up on D, so he's got to make up for it on offense. He's got to make quick decisions. He's got to shoot the three.
I believe it's going to happen. This is it. This is what movies is made of. Inspirational tale. I'm sorry, Augie, but you're going in the dirt.
The problem with that is that Cat's getting played off the court because he's getting fouls because KD keeps scrunching up and throwing a shoulder into him, and it's a foul on KD. So that's the tough part, is that Cat's size is almost a bad thing when he's on offense because whatever, it's a mismatch.
Bro, he's just a bonus yesterday.
He's just got to get better control of his elbows. He just needs to know where his elbows are.
That's always been a thing. Yeah,
I'm still mad at Sabonis watching Sabonis yesterday do everything that Cat can't do. It just whatever.
Yeah, but he took Draymond Green out, so it was good.
Yeah, it's good
overall.
I wanted Draymond and Sabonis to do dual headbutts, and they both perish on the court, and then we never see
like
them
like again. Step brothers.
Yeah, they knock each other out at the.
Yeah, I need it. All right, number six. Before we get into random wolf son wolf of the week.
So yeah, we talked about we alluded to this earlier. Number six is Drew Eubanks, and by extension, Frank Vogel. And this is the legitimate reason why Suns fans should be upset with Frank Vogel is because I truthfully think that he's probably like been giving Eubanks reps to try to build him up for the playoffs, knowing that like he's the backup center, he's going to see some minutes, but he's the only player on the Suns with a negative plus minus. And then you look at all the lineup stats. Ooh. And all the lineups with him are ass. And it's mostly because he's the pigeon. He gets chewed up on defense. And then on offense, sometimes he doesn't know where the hell to be. Like he should be cutting and he's not cutting. He'll get the ball and do something stupid with it. So like the guy, like Booker and Durant, and to an extent Beal, have been icing him out. Like they've been shutting him out. Like he'll set a screen, he'll show his hands, and he'll be in good position to catch it and dunk, and they will look him off. He is a negative on the court, and he is going to see minutes. So like if you see Eubanks, mm-hmm. it's time to go, Gobert. It's time to go, Cat. Like you're going to have to get buckets on Eubanks in order to win the series.
Dude, that really hurts my feelings, because Drew Eubanks is my favorite Suns player for this exact reason. I want him to see the floor as much as possible, because I just love the way
Root
he hoops.
Dude,
I love it. I'm like, yeah, Drew.
That was my like bang my head against the wall where we were watching the last game, was because Nurkic got in foul trouble early and Eubanks was seeing the floor a lot. He was just getting eaten alive by Rudy. I mean, every possession that Rudy got the ball on the block, and then Ant just went away from it. And I talked about this in the last pod, but like Ant was getting doubled early. And so instead of passing out, he would just shoot the ball earlier in the possession. So he'd like just be further away from the 3-point line and take the shot. And then it'd be a long board, 'cause you'd have guys out in the deep post. But that was pretty clear from the last matchup that he is a weak cog for sure.
Yeah. He's
so that's the number one. That is the key to victory is, oh, sorry, Brandon.
Well, like, do you really think he's going to play that much, though? Like playoff rotations, the rotations are going to shrink a lot to like 8, 7.5-ish. And so like your top seven are the starters, Royce O'Neal and Eric Gordon, like with a bullet for sure. Right. Is Eric Gordon healthy? I know he didn't play in the last game. Drew Eubanks,
I'm not even
like
betting on him.
Like Eric Gordon, he's not healthy.
I don't know. I have no idea. I'm just, to me, it's like, okay. I feel like Eubanks is going to see minutes. You're right about the lineup shrinking. Thing is that we haven't really seen much evidence of Eubanks playing bad and then getting taken out of the lineup. Like he'll play bad and then he'll stay in the game, and then he'll come out of the game and then go back in the game. And it's like, bro, like stop playing this guy. And so like, we don't have any evidence to the contrary, so that's why like we're worried. We are a worried folk. As a Suns fan, I hope Eubanks does not see the floor. I want to see Bol Bol get minutes. Bol Bol is
good.
I don't know if you guys know, if you guys have been up on the Bol Bol lore, but like he's good this year. He's not. Yeah.
I love Bol Bol. I wanted the Wolves to sign him because I wanted just the biggest lineups imaginable.
I saw like the Wemby comps where they're like, where have we seen this before? And then it flashes up a picture of Bol Bol, and they're like the original Victor Wembanyama.
Like, I know it's like a meme, but like it kind of. It's funny.
I mean, he's
like,
not as good as Victor. It's not even close. Stop it. I mean, he's maybe
I'm
better.
Not suggesting that.
Higher
I'm not
ceiling,
suggesting
for sure.
That. I'm just, gosh, I'm not suggesting that. I'm just saying that there's like a flash. It's like, oh, Bol Bol got one off. Whoa. It's kind of like
they're
Jake
like, they're like relatively like the same shaped person. That's pretty much where that.
I'm saying it's like when Jake Lehman GM on someone in garbage time, you'd be like, well, hang on now. There might be something here. And there's not. But Dude. All right, Augie, thank you for some light amount of optimism. I didn't need it because fear is the mind killer, but I know some people out there might. So is there anything else you want to add before we get into random Sun Wolf of the Week?
I've noticed that you, and I appreciate this about you and about the Timberwolves, that you haven't used that phrase throughout the season. You even in hard times, you've refrained. So you're definitely on the under on the preseason.
yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's the just playoffs are busted out in January. Do it, though.
It's a Wednesday versus, I don't know, the G League Grizzlies. I'm not going to bust that out.
We also the time. We also haven't lost three in a row all year, so that's been a helpful thing for Jordan not spiraling this season. There's been a couple bad losses,
but there are definitely some people on Wolves Twitter who get really mad every time they lose just one game.
Yeah, that's true.
when the news of Kat's random meniscus injury came out, I was like, yeah, okay, we're here. We're in Fear of the Mind Killer hours. Then Ant and Nas decided to go crazy, so they pulled us out. Thank you.
Shout out Nas. He needs to play a lot of minutes.
Paul Atreides, Edwards.
I need to see Nas. Cat
I want
lineups.
The three bigs lineup. That's I dude. A few years ago, if you said that, I'd be like, "What are you talking about? You want Nas Cat?" But now this year, I love the Nas Cat lineups because it just generate your own offense, like amazing fun.
Nas?
It's like a better version of the 21-22 team.
Nas on What's Nas up, on KD. I don't
That's
know.
That's kind of cooked, but Nas.
No, he's. I mean, he's worse but defensively,
he's bad.
But
he's bad on. He's worse,
but he's quick. He's quicker. Size-wise. He's quicker. Like I said, hockey lineups.
You need to explore that. I don't know if this will happen, but you need to explore Anthony Edwards on KD because KD, it's not length that's going to stop. It's not a length that's going to stop KD. It's strength. And yeah,
that's been what they've done the last couple of games is Ant on KD. The big problem, the reason Beal has gone off on them is because they've had Cat on Grayson Allen, and that's forced Mike Conley onto Bradley Beal, who. I love Mike Conley, but that's a lot to ask from a guy who's like 6 feet tall.
Damn, that sucks. I didn't even think about that. I don't have the answer. That makes
me. And
even
if you did, you wouldn't tell us because you have an agenda, which is Suns victory, and that's garbage from the woke lamestream media, not providing full story. It's time for Random Sun Wolf of the Week.
Our swap.
All right. So, as our esteemed guest, you get the very, very, very prestigious hint-free guess. Who is the Random Sun Wolf of the Week?
Sam Cassell
is incorrect. Yes, he did.
Good guess.
Really?
I think the Suns fan on the pod knows if you play.
I did not know
Suns.
That. All right.
Hint
sure?
number one.
You sure about that? Number one.
You sure? All right. Hint number one. He played for six teams in his NBA career: the Suns, Wolves, Clippers, Lakers, Pelicans, and Wizards.
Pelicans.
Oh, so he's a recent person.
Say those again. Suns, Pelicans, Wolves, who else? Clippers?
Suns, Wolves, Clippers, Lakers, Pelicans, Wizards.
And this is not like the New Orleans Hornets Pelicans, right? Like this is the New Orleans Pelicans.
I believe it is the Pelicans.
Something about the Clippers and Wizards is like lining up some stuff in my head. Oops. Got to pause my video because I have unstable internet. Is this doing anything for you guys?
I'm trying to think back to the list of players that I looked at earlier today.
Hang on. Wolves, Suns.
Clippers, Wizards.
Wolves, Suns, freaking Clippies. Pelicans?
This is what Jally does when he doesn't know and he knows the teams. He just says them in different in different questioning tones.
So the Pelicans came out and went 2013? Can we look that up?
And the Wizards were in there, right? Did we see the Wizards?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, I just wanted to confirm.
And Clippers.
Okay.
Suns?
Yeah, the Pelicans were like right after Chris Paul went to the Clippers, I think. Because I don't think Chris Paul was ever a Pelican.
Let's just get it moving. Let's just say freaking.
Is it Lou Amundsen?
Let's say Lou Amundsen. Let's just start with Lou. I don't think it was because Lou was also a Grizzly at one point. But
wait. Augie's saying no.
Well, remember we have four more.
No,
hits.
You know what? Go for it because I don't think I know when he retired. So I thought he might have been too old. But
yeah, Lou Amundsen.
I'm with it.
Lou Amundsen is incorrect.
Enemy of the pod.
I did consider Lou Amundsen when I made my short list of choices.
Okay. Let's talk about this. Can we talk about this? Why do you guys hate Lou Amundsen? Why is he an enemy of the pod?
Me.
This is Jordan.
Because he looks weird. I didn't like his face. And also I could see the greasy goop that he would leave on the ball.
You guys shut off your video.
Yeah, you can pull off your video.
Skin, but the ball is always goopy. All right. How is this? Is that better?
Yeah, it's much better.
It's much better.
Lou Amundsen was just like... I didn't like the way his face looked. Didn't like the way his headband looked with like connected with his hairline. And also, I think he left visible amounts of like goop on the basketball. He was a goopy guy.
A lot of shaming from Jordan.
I also
loved him.
I have a take that I would be a better basketball player than Lou Amundsen. The only difference is he's gigantic. Like, I think I'm more skilled than him in every aspect of basketball, aside from he's a foot and a half taller than me.
Do you have the motor that Lou Amundsen has? Because that, I mean, he's got a motor. He doesn't.
If there was millions of dollars of NBA basketball on the line, I would.
Rec league motor. I always thought he looked like a bigger version of Tim, what's his name from Friday Night Lights? Tim Riggins.
Tim Riggins.
Oh.
Like an expanded version. No, I am so on Lou Amundsen. I liked him when he was with the Wolves because I always loved backup centers. Like always like the obscure. Big Grig Steam's my guy, you know. Yeah, that's a Jordan thing. Hating Lou Amundsen.
Clue number two. Right, Brandon.
Hint number two. He made the 2010-2011 all-rookie second team.
All rookie second team, 2010-2011. Let's see. So 09 was Randy Foy and freaking Ricky. 2010, Derek Williams didn't play for the Suns.
No.
And that was 2007, I believe.
But he could have been picked up by like the Wizards or whatever, Clippers.
Oh yeah, true. I guess it wasn't a Wolf pick. Who was a late 2000s
Wesley Johnson?
That's the timeline.
Wait a minute. Is it Michael Beasley?
No, because there wasn't Lakers.
No, so he didn't say Heat
or New York Knicks.
Okay. Fair.
I like Wes Johnson. Did he play for the Suns, Augie?
Johnson did play for the Suns. Yeah,
was he good?
I don't know about the other teams. I just was thinking Lakers. Right, was one of them.
Wes Johnson did play
Lakers
for Lakers.
Was one of the teams.
Oh, it was one of the teams.
Yeah. So that's why.
Shit, that changes everything.
Well, let's just say Wes Johnson because that's like the right era.
Okay.
Wesley Johnson.
Lock it in.
Wesley Johnson is correct.
Let's go. Hell yeah.
Nice pull.
Ow. 2009 is
other
what
hints
for me.
Yeah, what are the other hints?
The other hints were he was acquired by the Suns from the Timberwolves in a three-team trade that included Brad Miller, Lorenzo Brown, and Robin Lopez. There was nobody notable in that trade. I couldn't pick anyone even remotely famous.
Robin Lopez is notable, okay?
Come on.
Yeah.
He's the most famous guy in the trade. And then hint number four was his jersey number in Minnesota plus his jersey number in Phoenix adds up to six.
I love
and
that
hint number five was he was the fourth overall pick in the 2010 NBA draft.
Damn,
unfortunately,
dude. Dang, he was fourth there's overall.
Been a lot
That's
of,
crazy.
There's been a lot of Phoenix Suns, Minnesota Timberwolves crossover. Him, Michael Beasley, Marbury,
Amundsen,
Tom Gugliotta.
Yeah,
Tom Gugliotta. Yeah. That's the big one. That's probably the best. He's probably the best combos. Who's
my first
combo?
Choice,
oh, Rubio.
I almost did Isaiah Kanan. A classic double 10-day contract guy with the Wolves.
Yep.
I'm going to pull up all the people that hang on, let me go to Basketball Reference.
I just pulled it up. There's 37 that played for both franchises.
as a fun bit, Augie, do you have 5 more minutes and we can assemble the best combo Suns Wolves team?
I'm in.
Okay, so Marbury is the point guard.
Sorry, Ricky.
Yeah, that's easy. Gliata is the small forward or power forward.
Obviously, TJ Warren's on there, right?
Oh, dude, come on, man. Tony Buckets, let's
We're getting Suns TJ Warren.
I was going to say, we love
Wolves. TJ Warren is not good.
Is Beasley really the four? Beasley, well, because Gliata's not the five. Gliata's the four.
Gliata's the four. He's got to be, yeah.
Is the center Lou Amundsen?
It might be.
Might have to be.
No, it's Greg Monroe, dude. Greg Monroe's on here.
It's Greg Monroe.
Hell yeah,
Monroe.
Greg Monroe.
It could be Greg Monroe.
No, it's Luke Longley.
I love
Longley.
Greg Monroe's better
than Luke Longley.
There's also there's some like Wolves favorites in your let's see,
Oliver Miller. Well,
Dario Saric is on there. Let's see,
Thaddeus.
Ricky Rubio, obviously, Greg Monroe, Josh Okogie,
Anthony Tolliver.
Great Tolliver. We loved Anthony Tolliver.
Jamal Crawford getting smashed on by Stoudemire.
Remember when Anthony Tolliver blocked Giannis?
I thought you were gonna say Anthony Tolliver's like a decision video that he posted on YouTube right after.
I bring that up every LeBron. Time we talk about Anthony Tolliver.
Sorry, it's just an all-time bit. He probably had like 300 views on it.
Okay, hang on, let's reset.
Take my talents to the Minnesota Timberwolves.
At the one, it's Starbury. At the two, who do we say the two was?
Sam.
We could do Marbury at the two and Rubio at the one.
I like that better. Let's do that. So Rubio at the one, Starbury at the two. The three is not Gugliotta because he's a four. The three is TJ Warren, specifically Bubble Warren. The four is Gugliotta, and the five is Greg Monroe.
Lou.
No, fine. Lou Amundsen. Congrats.
Lou Amundsen, baby. Oh,
that's the all Suns Wolf team. Yeah. All right, dude. Augie, thank you so much for freaking coming on the pod, bro. It was long overdue. It was great to chat hoops with you. Thank you for like the small sparks of optimism paired with some really painful realism that we don't like to hear. But shout out to you, bro. Yeah. Appreciate your
perspective. Thank you for having me. I've been wanting to come on the pod for a long time, and I do listen to every episode. So, or I think I might have missed one, but you know,
that's fine.
That's fine.
My wife stopped listening. I think if she did listen, she'll tell me about it. But I don't think she listens anymore.
At
Augie5000 on X and other platforms. Follow Augie for his takes. I think you're worthy of a plug, Augie. Great follow.
The plug's cool, but don't call it X. Stop it.
I know. Yeah. I was being a piece of shit. You didn't see my face because I'm off camera, but I was like, X. let's see. If you made this far into the podcast, make sure you like and subscribe and rate Crunch Wears No Pants on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Remember, 1 star or 5 stars. If you're going to say something, stand on it. If I catch you driving recklessly in a residential area. You don't even know what I said last episode. You don't even want to know. It's sad.
It was pretty bad.
It was gruesome. It was dark.
Yeah.
There are kids on bikes, and if I see you driving recklessly,
you're gonna moon them.
Love you. Bye.